Welcome to Lawmen, a podcast about local legends and obscure curiosities from days of yore. I'm Alistair Beckett King.
And I'm James Shakeshaft.
And James, we're not alone.
I knew it.
I've got a freshly minted deputy law person for you in the form of Tom Mayhew.
Ooh, exciting.
Yeah. Now, James, do you remember when you said you'd follow me anywhere to the ends of the earth?
Yeah.
Well, now is your chance to follow me into the sewers of London Town.
Hey.
Again, as I tell you the tale of the Queen Rat. The tale of the Queen Rat. Because rats have tails. James Shankshaft.
Yes, Alistair Beckett King.
My tone of voice is serious.
Yeah.
Please imagine that I'm doing a tearful YouTuber apology or notes app apology.
I have an
apology to make. In a previous episode of the Lawmen podcast, hereafter referred to as Lawmen, I got a mythological character's name wrong.
Oh, no.
It was Persephone. To annoy pedants, I pronounced the name Persephone as Persephone, and I thought myself a little rascal.
Yeah, lovely stuff.
But we were talking, James, about the Odyssey, not the Orpheus myth.
Oh.
I wasn't talking about Persephone at all. I was talking about Penelope. Should have said Penelope.
My favourite of the melons.
Cantelope.
Yes.
So that's it. Yeah, I'm really sorry. The listener who pointed that out was well within their rights to delete every episode. I think I'm liable to be thrown out of Pedants Club.
Yeah, I think your role as the peddling pedant is under threat, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm going to have to take off my clips, my little bicycle clips.
Hand in your spokey-dokies.
And I've mentioned Pedants Club, which isn't allowed.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not the first rule, but it is one of the rules. A lot of people think it's the first rule of Pedants Club, but it's not. But it is one of the rules. And it gets worse, James.
What?
I haven't just embarrassed myself in front of you and the listeners.
No.
I've humiliated myself in front of a guest law person.
Have we got a guest law person?
Yeah, there's been a guest law person here in the clubhouse all along.
Oh, I thought that might have been a ghost. And I didn't want to say anything.
It is no ghost. It's the comedian Tom Mayhew. Hello, Tom.
Hello. How are you doing, guys? You good?
We're very good. Thank you for sitting through that really nerdy apology.
I mean, that's all right. I would have thought the first rule of Pedants Club would be that you have to bring it up every time, whenever someone whether someone wants to hear it or not, you have to keep bringing it up.
We're just trying to make our point, Tom. You know, facts are important. Now, the listener might know, Tom, you've got two Radio 4 series.
I do, yes.
Tom Mayhew is benefit scum. Now, that's not my opinion. That's the opinion of the BBC. They said that about you.
It is just pure coincidence that you also share the opinion.
I have all the same opinions as the BBC, yeah. Wow. So that's fantastic. So people can go and listen to those if they live in the UK. If they don't, I assume they have to illegally pirate them from Anti-Beeb.
Yeah, which I'm perfectly happy for people to do. Like, I don't think I get any money if people listen to it on BBC Sound. So feel free to pirate it and then just send me a quid.
Gentlemen, cast your minds back to the 1840s.
Oh, I remember it well.
Yes. It was not so different from today in many ways. The Houses of Parliament were full of public school toffery. The waterways of Britain flowed with human effluent. And it was very hard to get Taylor Swift tickets.
Yeah.
That's a topical joke there 3 weeks ago. That's the most topical I've ever been. When I wrote that in my notes, I was like, that's a joke.
Checks out.
Yep. So there's no more jokes from now on, so don't be alarmed. The other thing that happened in the 1840s was that friend of the podcast, Henry Mayhew, published London Labour and the London Poor. And law folk might remember that this Mayhew, not to be confused with Tom, was a sort of John Ronson or Louis Theroux of his day, interviewing three types of poor people in London, which he categorised as those that worked, those that couldn't work, and your favourite and mine, those that will not work.
Oh, the coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Although a lot of them are thieves, which is work. But anyway, and I feel kind of bad. What happened was a listener suggested, hey, that you know, that was a good episode. The next time you do a story from London Labour and the London Poor, you should get Tom Mayhew on because you've got the same name and you have an interest in social justice, Tom. But I realised kind of what I've done in this episode is I've sort of said, speaking of filthy, horrible wretches from the streets of London, take it away, Tom. Which wasn't my intention.
Well, that is how you usually would introduce me when you MC, so... I should establish that I'm not actually related to this Henry Mayhew person, because my girlfriend did, when she found out about him, go, oh, you're related to this guy? And I was like, no, he's... If anything, he's kind of... He would be like a relation who would just come round and stare at me and not give me any birthday money, I suppose.
One of the useless relatives who really don't pull their weight.
Yeah, I don't think he's part of our family tree, sadly.
So you're able to comment on Henry Mayhew from an objective standpoint, Tom. That's great.
I feel like this is some sort of like accidental nepotism. Like he's got the same surname. We're not actually related, but someone's thought I was and booked me anyway.
If you want to get ahead in this industry, and I'm not sure what industry we're currently in, but that is crucial. You got to know. It's who you know. It's who your name is similar to.
Yeah, I thought I was getting a combination of Samuel Beckett and Stephen King.
How dare you, James Shakeshaft, make fun of my name? the arrogance of the man. Yeah. I know, I'm on the back foot because of that Persephone debacle.
What did you think you were getting when you booked Shakeshaft? My great-granddad, Donkey Shakeshaft.
Donkey Shakeshaft. I thought I was getting Cockney geezer Donkey Shakeshaft. Oh. For tossing coppers.
Hoying a copper in the canal, yeah.
Exactly.
And then escaping to Dagenham. True stories, Tom, I'm afraid.
To be clear, Tom, that yeah, these are true stories. This is not riffing. This is historical fact. I'd like to tell you, James, about one of the people who Henry Mayhew interviews, and that is no less than Queen Victoria's rat catcher.
What?
The Queen Victoria's the rat catcher. His name was Jack Black.
What?
Yeah. Television's Jack Black. Hollywood's Jack Black was... Scooby-Dooby-Doo. Yeah, exactly. That Jack Black off of Tenacious D was also Queen Victoria's rat catcher.
Was he any good?
Was he any good, Jack? He was Queen Victoria's rat catcher. Nuff said.
Does that mean he was also Jack the Ripper or something?
I really
have
not.
Have I spoiled the ending?
I've warmed to him so much. If he turns out to be Jack the Ripper, I'm going to be devastated.
Because he is called Jack.
If you could pass me that red string.
Yes, hold on. I'll pull some down from Jack Black, the singer.
You've just put a picture of Jack Black,
the singer.
Who
turns out he's unrelated.
Yeah.
How many Jacks have you got on this pin board?
I've got Jack Black. I've got Jack White for the set. Those are the only Jacks, genuinely the only Jacks. Jack Nicholson.
Yep. Jack in a box.
I've got a Jack in a box, yes.
Car Jack.
Yeah, there's a Car Jack there, which was a drunk Amazon purchase.
I'm not saying these are likely, but once you eliminate the impossible, whatever remains, James.
Even if it's a Car Jack.
No matter how improbable, even if it's a Car Jack, must be Jack the Ripper. So Jack Black, if you can picture him, he's a bit slimmer than our Jack Black. He wore a little top hat and a belt across his torso, like a sash. With embossed metal rats on it, which he made himself.
Oh.
And the letters VR, as in VR, Rat and Mole Destroyer to Her Majesty, which is how he described himself.
VR stands for Very Rats.
it's virtual reality. That's how he got the rats.
Nice.
Now, I don't know if he was actually officially Queen Victoria's rat catcher, because the authority on which he makes that claim is his own. He was, according to him, Queen Victoria's official rat catcher.
Well, yeah, she'd never admit it, would she?
Someone's got to catch those rats. She's not doing it herself, is she?
Yeah, in a way, Jack Black, the rat catcher, is the original Tom from Tom and Jerry.
Yes. And also, if you hit him in the face with a frying pan, his face becomes the full shape of a frying pan. Same with an iron. Actually, he did survive some really nasty violence, so I'm not going to go into much detail, but this guy is a survivor.
Didn't he claim he was bitten by a rat all over his body?
Yes, he was famous for not being bitten by rats, because he was so good at handling them, but he was also bitten by rats a lot of times in a lot of places, and he nearly died twice from rat bites. Now, a rat catcher, you might say, James, that's not very magical or folkloric, but Edwin Radford's Encyclopedia of Superstition edited by Christ in a Hole. It's Christina Hole.
Christ in a Hole and Eddie Radford.
And Eddie
on the
Radford.
Same bill.
Yep.
Gnarly.
That book regards rat charmers as faintly supernatural entities, a bit like the Pied Piper, famous yeah. for being pied.
Yes.
As in two colours, not a meat pie.
Right, like pie, yeah. Piebald?
Like piebald, yeah, exactly. The rat charmers could supposedly handle rats without being bitten, and Mr. Black could do exactly that. I'm going to quote from the book, and as before, I'm going to do a dodgy John Ronson impression.
Lovely.
For
Sorry,
Henry
Tom.
Mayhew, because I can't do Louis Theroux. And some might say I can't do John Ronson, but... It's not going to stop me.
Also, double sorry, Tom. I thought he was your relation again, and that's why I apologise there. But now I'm apologising for thinking he was your relation. Carry on, Alistair.
He's not related to Tom Mayhew.
No, they've just got similar sounding names.
It's just the same word.
No, yeah, their surnames just sound the same because it is the same surname.
Yeah, they sound exactly the same.
It just sounds the same because it has the same letters in it.
Mm.
I mean, my middle name is James. It doesn't mean I'm related to you, does it, James?
My middle name is James.
What?
Twinsies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good work, your parents.
Alistair Beckett James King. Is it also James's middle name as well?
His name is James James James. Shake James Shaft.
I am James Shakeshaft III, and they misunderstood what that meant.
So, you're James Shakeshaft III.
I am, of course. I'm the son of Jimmy, of East End gangster, who is the son of Grandad Jim, my Grandad yes. Jim. Who is the son of Donkey? I will never know his real name. Well, I did ask my dad before he died what his real name was, and he said he didn't know.
Really?
So it's literally lost to the mists, and he will forever be known as Donkey Shakeshaft. He's the one who threw the policeman in the canal, so maybe it was a pseudonym.
I really hope that... You didn't ask your dad that on his deathbed, and that was the last Ooh. Question you asked, and his last
Quick
words
question.
Are, I don't know, and he just dies. You go, oh, okay. I wasted that question, to be honest.
Should have asked about the gold. The legend of Donkey's gold.
Very strict, your dad, about number of questions, like a genie in that respect. Like, no, you've had your question.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're just gonna sit it out.
Yeah. 3 years before he died. Couldn't ask him a thing.
Hey, Dad. No. No.
I can hear the rising inflection. This is going to be a question.
Are you doing an Australian voice, or is this an actual question?
Henry Mayhew writes.
Go on.
And I've got to say, I think that was the longest gap between me trying to queue up a quote and getting to actually say it.
I mean, do you want us to make it longer?
He writes, the first time I ever saw Mr. Black was in the streets of London at the corner of Hart Street. He had a kind of stage rigged up on which were cages filled with rats and pills and poison packages. Here I saw him dip his hand into this cage of rats and take out as many as he could hold, a feat which generally caused an oh of wonder to escape from the crowd, especially when they observed that his hands were unbitten. Women more particularly shuddered when they beheld him place some half dozen of the dusty-looking brutes, again the rats, within his shirt next to his skin, and men swore the animals had been tamed as he let them run up his arms like squirrels, and the people gathered round beheld them sitting on his shoulders, cleaning their faces with their front paws, or rising up on their hind legs like little kangaroos and sniffing about his ears and cheeks. But those who knew Mr. Black better were well aware that the animals he took up in his hand were as wild as any of the rats in the sewers of London, and that the only mystery in the exhibition was that of a man having courage enough to undertake the work.
Wow.
What a legend. Just knock them about like blind kittens, they said. He didn't just catch rats.
Mm-hmm.
He had been known to partake. Mr. Black informed me in secret that he had often... unbeknownst to his wife, that's an inverted comma, so I assume it's pronounced in that Cockney voice. Again, I'm not to blame for this Cockney voice, it's just how it's written. He had, unbeknownst to his wife, tasted what cooked rats were like.
Okay.
And he asserted that they were as moist as rabbits and quite as nice. If they are sewer rats, he continued, just chase them for 2 or 3 days before you kill them and they are as good as barn rats. I'll give you my word, sir.
Chase them.
Yeah, chase them.
For 2 days.
James, simply chase the rats for 2 or 3 days until they have sweated out the poo. basically. I think they've got a lot of sewer in their system.
Yeah, that's the implication.
Yeah, you want to just sweat it out of them.
Where are you chasing them?
A circuit, I would hope.
That's a good point.
So you're back where you started at the end of two or three days. You want to plot a circular route. You don't want to be like, oh, I've finally got my rat, my now extremely lean rat.
But I'm 3 days chase from home.
Can I just check? Did you say this guy had a wife?
Yeah, he had a wife.
How? And that's his main hobby? Oh, how was your day at work, darling? Yeah, you know, just chasing other rats again. Oh, okay, why am I with you?
I think it holds out hope for any of us that if Jack Black, the rat catcher, to be fair though, he did conceal from her the fact that he ate sewer rats sometimes. I think a relationship is based on trust. I don't think he should have done that.
Mm.
I know I'm making it sound quite glamorous, but he'd had quite a hard life. Like Tom says, he had been bitten a lot. He'd been hospitalised, or whatever the Victorian version of hospitalised, which I think was just lying on a pallet with straw on it and waiting to see if you died.
Being given some brandy.
I would argue, though, considering he basically seems to spend his time juggling rats, it's kind of it's kind of his fault he gets bit a bit.
And now Tom's true colours are on display. Left-wing stand-up comedian victim blames. You don't get that on Radio 4.
Yeah, I'm going for that big, GB News spot.
Jack Black, he used to have a pub on Regent Street. Things had been going very well for him. He's kind of on his uppers by the time Mayhew finds him. He had I don't think it was called the Rat Catcher's Arms, or maybe I've invented that, but I would have called it that. His daughter served behind the bar as the Rat Catcher's daughter. It's spelled Catcher, because that's how they say it. Mm-hmm. She served behind the bar, and they had matching velvet outfits, which sound really nice, but sadly, the brewery shafted him, which is exactly what happens to pubs these days. and his outfit was in pawn by the time Mayhew came, so he didn't get to see the rat catcher outfit.
Oh,
PAW, everyone, PAW. just making sure everyone knows.
Yes. Yeah. His outfit's not launched a second career. When Mayhew called, Black told him that business is bad for rats, which for the city might have been good news, but for Jack Black, it was bad news. So he had to diversify, and he was mainly catching sparrows because, as he put it, sparrows is the rats of birds. So argue with that.
Fair enough. Not pigeons?
I think it was sparrows in those days were the big... He said they would huddle together like rats in a cage. And I don't know how he caught them because they're so small, but he was he was a talented fish tickler.
Hey, good.
I'm called down here the Battersea Otter, he went on. For I can go out at 4 in the morning and come home by 8 with a barrow full of freshwater fish. Nobody knows how I do it because I takes no nets or lines with me, even though Mayhew does see nets and lines when he's at his house. But, he doesn't mention that, but like a paragraph up, it's like he walked me past loads of fishing equipment. But anyway, I assure them I'll catch them with my hands, which I do. But they only laughs, incredulous, like. That's how it's spelt.
Mm.
I know the fishes haunts and watches the tides. I've caught near the Wandsworth Black Sea, as we call it. 100 weight sometimes, and I never took less than my handkerchief full. And Mayhew says, I was inclined, like the inhabitants of Battersea, to be incredulous of the rat catcher's hand fishing, until, under a promise of secrecy, he confided his process to me. And then, not only was I perfectly convinced of its truth, but startled that so simple a method had never before been taken advantage of. And what was that method?
Did you just sort of grab him?
Grabbing him, I think, yeah. It doesn't say in the book, because obviously he sworn to secrecy. So, but he was like, but even the description of the method was so convincing that he believed it. So it must be slightly better than just grab him.
Just grab him.
Just grab him.
They're eels, they're massive. Grab him.
I mean, that's one thing, because Jack Black, he's described on Wikipedia as a rat catcher and also a mole destroyer.
A mole destroyer.
Was that another sideline?
Yeah, he doesn't mention it at all in the interview, as far as I can tell. But it's like a lot easier to kill moles, I think, sadly.
It sounds like he's taking them down mentally as well. Like, he's not just killing them, he's breaking them.
There'll be a YouTube video like Jack Black to destroy his mole.
Your house is so inconsequential, people use it as a comparison to some big problem.
We understood, James. Yeah. We
just in case, just in case, it's for the same people that thought they were using the costume in porn.
Yeah. Oh, well. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I'd like to take you to the opposite end of the rat spectrum now, briefly, and tell you a little bit about the original Happy Family, because it's possible that Jack Black sold his rats to one of London's happy families. He mostly sold them to rat fights. I'm not going to get into that. It's nasty.
Whoa.
He might possibly, could maybe have, no evidence for this, sold a rat to a Mr. John Austin, who invented and exhibited the very first original, genuine, happy family. Now,
huh?
What do you reckon that is?
Is it the card game?
It's not the card game Happy Families.
That'd be quite the twist if it turned out they were all rats.
They were originally printed on rats, and it was really hard to play, because they'd be scurrying about the whole time. It's like the Victorian version of an inspirational TikTok, basically. It's loads of animals that normally would kill each other in a cage together, having a whale of a time. Mm. And you could look at them not killing each other, you know, like cats and mice and ferrets and rats, all larking and frolicking happily in a cage. A happy family.
Like a live, like a zoo kind of thing.
Like a zoo, but they're all in the same cage.
Being friendly.
Crucially, that's absolutely crucial. Being friendly to each other. Because you know that if you let the lions and the ocelots in the same cage, it'd go badly for the ocelots.
How do they make them friendly though? Why are they not eating each other?
Well, great question. A lot of people thought that he drugged them, that he gave them opium, but he didn't. It was pure training. His secret, and the book does reveal this secret, his secret was loads of animals dying while he practiced teaching them not to kill animals. So it's just a really revolting story, to be honest. Like he says that one ferret cost him £2 worth of birds. Now, I don't know if that's money or weight. Either way, in those days, that's a lot of birds you got
they
through.
They don't weigh much, famously.
Stop killing birds. Just giving it another bird until it gets bored of slaughter and then sticking it in a cage.
That sounds like some full animals.
At one point, he had two monkeys, rats, cats, dogs, hawks, owls, magpies, ferrets, and a coati.
Mm?
All in together. Happy family. Mr. John Austin, at one point, at the height of his success, before everybody started ripping him off with their own happy families, he even exhibited in front of the Queen.
Ooh.
Queen Victoria herself. She's back in the story.
Did she recognise some of the rats?
Well, that wouldn't it be annoying if you were a rat who had been caught in Buckingham Palace by Jack Black, sold into a happy family, barely survived the gruelling initiation, only to revisit Buckingham Palace in an acting role?
Yes.
It's so weird for the rat.
Well, maybe the rat would see that as, like, coming full circle. And, like, finally, I can prove myself.
Like a homecoming gig.
Queen Victoria bobbing into view there. It's like, oh, so now you want rats. Make up your mind.
How did even John Austin come up with such a, frankly, silly idea?
He loved animals so much that he...
Not that much.
Killed loads of them in pursuit of a ludicrous ideal.
Did no one at any point go, I don't think anyone would go see that. No, even like the first time he showed it to someone, he was like, look at that. Cat and a rat. Cat and a rat. Look, they're not killing each other. It's very difficult to show the absence of a thing.
It was really popular. It was so popular that he had people plagiarizing his material. There were knock-off happy families all over.
But where did he get the animals from? Because surely, like, once you've bought, like, 50 birds from a pet shop, and then you come back in next week and go, oh, can I have 50 birds? They'll go, why? What did you do with the last ones? Like,
are you the guy who bought 3 coatis last week? This is England in 1840. We don't have a lot of coatis.
How happy are these families, John?
They are eventually happy. There's a strong survivor bias in that.
But how happy is your own family, John? That's what I want to know.
Shoveling out bird corpses every day.
Is it a Tolstoy quote that all happy families are the same? You're talking nonsense, Tolstoy. This one isn't. It's got a monkey in it. If it's not Tolstoy, I apologise to the pedants.
To be honest, I misheard it as Toy Story.
Yeah, but Buzz famously said that, didn't he?
Yeah.
So that's two appearances of Queen Victoria. But I've got another better queen for you to close off this tale. listeners might remember, James, you could remember, Tom, there's very little chance of you remembering, that a race of sewer pigs lives in Hampstead sewers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the Hampstead sewer pigs.
The Hampstead sewer pigs. We all know about the Hampstead sewer pigs. Let's not bang on about the fact that a race of pigs lives in the Hampstead sewers.
How long would you have to chase them before you could eat them, though?
What on earth could you have a question about at this point, Tom?
Yeah, sorry, Tom. We've got another question there about the race of sewer pigs that live in Hampstead. Carry on.
Are you sure that's not like a Pixar film or something?
Listeners who remember our Christmas pig episode might remember that the Toshers of London, who were people who went around the sewers collecting stuff, you know, flotsam, jetsam, metals, anything that they could sell, lived in fear of the race of sewer pigs, which were supposedly very scary. But I think I can top that. I think I can beat a race of sewer pigs today.
Whoa.
Let's get out of the hoity-toity North London Hampstead sewers and travel to the sewers of Bermondsey, not so far away from Battersea, where we started.
Probably a short rat chase by sewer.
by the time you get there, your rat is going to be delicious and tender.
Mm.
It was a hard time to be a tosher in 1840 because, A, your job was sifting through sewage. It's an appalling job, and it was illegal. It was banned in 1840, which I think makes it kind of cool and edgy.
Yeah, they ruin all the fun, don't they?
The so-called nanny state, with their political correctness gone mad, banned sifting through human waste for coins.
It's all bloody health and safety, isn't it?
This is why we left the EU.
It's health and safety and subterranean pigs gone mad.
Brussels bureaucrats and sewage were not the only problems faced by the Toshers. They lived in fear of the Queen Rat. Now, Henry Mayhew, who was a serious journalist, never mentions the Queen Rat at any point in his book. But that's not going to stop me. I think the reason for that is that her story didn't break until the 1990s.
What?
According to friend of the podcast, Lore of the Land, this tale was told by Liz Simpson, a descendant of a Tosher named Jerry Sweetley.
Nice one.
And he died in 1890, as well as having a name that makes him sound a bit like maybe a lounge singer.
Mm.
Jerry Sweetley sings very sweetly. That would be his first album.
Mm.
I'm visualising him in a sort of crocodile suit.
But you look closely at that crocodile suit and it's pig. It's sewer pig.
The Queen Rat was she was queen of the rats, but she was able to appear both as a rat and as a beautiful woman.
She was a rat, but also a woman?
Yep.
Like the top half rat, bottom half woman? Or
she wasn't a mer rat. She could transmogrify.
That makes a lot more sense. Yeah, okay.
What would you prefer, top half or bottom half rat? Just something to think about.
It'd be nice to have a tail, I suppose.
More wear rat than mer rat.
Yeah. She's more of a wear rat. Good point, James. Yes. She may have had a tail. I don't think she did. She had eyes that reflected like an animal's eyes, you know, like a cat or a rat's eyes will sort of flash green. And she still had claws on her toes. But apart from that, she looked like a beautiful woman. Or perhaps I should say, a conventionally attractive woman, because it's 2023.
And what did she do for fun?
Well, she loved to seduce young Toshers, like our friend Jerry Sweetley.
Jerry Sweetley.
Who in the story, and this is, I mean, it's about to get very unpleasant. He's 15, but I invite you to think of him as if he were an adult based on what's going to happen next in the story, and also the fact that the age expectancy for a Tosher in those days cannot have been high. Jerry had had an argument with his pregnant girlfriend, and he struck off in a sulk to the boozer and started going on the lash. In the pub, he met a lovely lady, and you know, he'd had a row. That's, you know, this isn't good behaviour, but he goes back with her to a barn to engage in shenanigans.
Mm.
Now, this isn't Lawmen Lates, so I can't describe it. Also, I don't want to describe it.
Mm.
Because that beautiful woman was the Lady of the Sewers, the Queen Rat.
The Queen Rat.
In her human form, the Queen Rat. And while they were getting up to whatever it was they were getting up to, she bit him upon the neck. Now, apparently, this is good luck. Yeah, it's full of twists. Being bitten on the neck by the Queen Rat will offer you protection from rats. So it's a very handy thing for a Tosha to have.
Yes.
Perhaps that's what Jack Black had. Maybe that's how he was able to handle them. We don't know.
This sounds like very weird logic. Like, oh, I've been bitten by a rat, so I can never be bitten by another rat ever again. It's not chicken pox. Like,
she bit him on the neck. He didn't know what was going on. He lashed out, and suddenly there was no woman at all, just a huge rat on a beam, glowering down at him with a scrap of cloth in its mouth.
Huge like the size of a person, huge, or big for a rat?
Huge like the size of a big rat, I think.
Big rat.
It opened its mouth to speak, and it said, "You'll get your luck, Tosha." I'm doing my best EastEnders acting here.
Yeah.
"But you ain't done paying me for it yet." As the rat spoke, the piece of cloth fell out of its mouth and fluttered down, and of course matched a hole in Jerry Sweetley's shirt. So it was indeed the rat who had bitten him on the neck in the form of a lady. And the curse came true. It was that Jerry Sweetley was forever cursed with bad luck in love, which actually means it mainly affected his partners, not him. Like, his partners kept dying, but he seems to have been fine and gone on to live for several more decades.
That'll teach him, yeah.
Playing away with the rat, are you? Well, I curse your girlfriend for no reason, and you'll be fine, actually. And also, rats won't bite you from now on. Bye!
I think you could argue that the bad luck in love probably started with sleeping with a rat woman.
Yes, that's a very, very good point.
From that day onward, there would always be an odd-eyed girl in every generation in his family. One blue and one grey.
Okay. Thought you meant like three.
No, not an odd number of eyes.
Not an odd number of eyes, right.
And that continued right up to Liz Thompson, the teller of the tale. Presumably to a tabloid newspaper in the 1990s, but I can't find out where she actually told the story. And that is the story of the Queen's official rat catcher and her counterpart, the Queen Rat.
What a lovely set of stories. I mean, I did imagine it was Jack Black from the music throughout.
Yes.
And I hope all the listeners did too. Bearded Jack Black, latter day.
I mean, I'm calling him TV's Jack Black. He's more known for his music and his TikTok silver screen work than his short-lived HBO TV series, but carry on. Are you ready to score this tale, James?
I am. I've got a sash covered in silver rats.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm going to give you an amount out of five of silver rats.
Okay. Oh, nice. Well, the first category is names.
Right. Great. Jack Black.
Destroyer of moles. Bane of mice. Squasher of sparrows. He's known by all of these names. He's like Aragorn from Lord of the Rings. The Battersea Otter. This is the same guy.
The Battersea Otter. That guy could tickle an eel. No, that sounds like a nickname that he wanted to
get
started.
A lot of these are self-applied nicknames, I think.
Yeah. The Queen's Rat Catcher. She won't admit to it. Don't ask her. But she knows. Jerry Sweetley. I'm going to have to give it a four because there were some great names, but we just needed a couple more to tip it on the edge.
Oh.
I have the same surname as...
We've got two Mayhews in the house. Two Mayhew.
It's four silver rats from my sash. Okay, I'm unpinning them now.
Clink, 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 clink. Fair enough.
Are these rats still alive? Have you just dipped them in silver paint?
Yeah, they're spray painted silver.
But... you got to chase them for a couple of days. When they drop, you get the spray come out.
They are as docile as a blind kitten. Yeah, one of them.
Second category, supernatural.
Okay, pretty low on the Jack Black side.
We got a shapeshifter in
However, yes, I was gonna when say Jerry Sweetley comes along with his weird tales that he told his granddaughter about his exploits.
We might be in great-great territory here, great-great-granddaughter territory.
Also, I think you could say that Jack Black was supernatural because he could clearly control the minds of rats.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, the Encyclopedia of Superstition, edited by Christ in a Hole, it's Christina Hole, treats rat charmers as supernatural. And yet he demonstrates exactly those abilities to handle a rat without being bitten once.
Apart from all those times he was bitten.
Again, this is the man who was bitten multiple times and nearly died twice.
Was it like the Happy Families thing where he just got rats that had bitten him so much they couldn't be bothered to bite him anymore?
It's just full rats.
They're just tired. Rats that were
full
of
his blood.
To be fair, I think judging him on being bitten by rats is like judging a comedian on their first gig. It's like, yeah, he was bitten by rats before, but look at him now. Like,
yeah,
you've got to
pay your dues, James. Come on.
He's on Live at the Apollo with a shirt full of rats.
He did all those open mic gigs where the rats bit his face off, but look at him now.
He's got no face. It's just rats. It's a three.
It's a three. Even though a woman shapeshifts into a rat. Or vice versa.
Yeah, right. It could have been. To be honest, I don't know, this Jerry Sweetley's story, he might have mistaken that rat for a woman, all I know.
James, the rat bit the thing. It bit the fabric out and the fabric matched the hole. That proves the woman and the rat were the same.
That proves that he was kissing a rat.
Oh, okay, all right, yeah. Just to be clear, it had gone beyond kissing, but carry on.
I think if you don't give it a four, then you might be haunted by the queen rat.
Yeah, you don't want the curse to fall upon you, James, or fall upon someone else.
That is a risk I'm just about willing to take. If I've learned anything from the Happy Families scenario, she'll get bored in the end.
Oh, you arrogant modern man. You're like the protagonist of a 1960s science fiction story written by a British author, wandering through life, confident that your rational worldview can explain everything. Well, I just hope you get eaten by a rat, James. Fine. Next category. And I'm afraid I have to sing this one. Killer Queen.
Whoa.
I'm not sure that was singing.
No, that was more like a shock. It's like you're being surprised by the Queen.
That's if I died and I wanted to let you know that the Queen did it.
Yes.
Killer Queen! I'm trying to do that Queen song, you know? Dynamite and a laser beam.
Oh, it's like Freddy's in the room. Amazing.
Wow.
That's my category.
Rate the category on just the phrase Killer Queen and not on ABK singing, please.
Well, whoa, yes. Whoa, Tom, I thought you were in my corner, and suddenly, now that it's about the scores, you immediately throw me under the bus.
Hey, no, I would buy your album, but at the same time, I think James is more cynical about your singing.
Yeah, true. You're right, it is about the scores. At the end of the day, it's about the scores.
So there are a number of queens. There are a number of killers.
There's a lot of killers.
And there is at least one killer queen. I'm saying we got Jack Black. He's definitely killing those. I mean, he's definitely killing the moles. He's destroying them. He's breaking them.
Yeah, I've skipped over loads of animals being poisoned in order for us to have a lighthearted and fun podcast. But he poisoned quite a lot of
rats. He's panging sparrows out the sky with a frying pan.
No, he's the Tom character, so the sparrows would have the frying pan and he would run into it.
He's getting
and wong, 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 with a big gong face.
Well, that's the Happy Family Murderer.
The Happy Family Murderer, yes.
It's actually a great title
known.
For a novel.
Yeah.
The Happy Family Murders.
Yeah, it's five. It's got to be five.
Thank you. And I think we all know what it was that tipped that up from a four to a five, and it was my passion.
Queen.
Killer Queen! I'm not trying to do it in a General Melchett kind of voice, but it just goes that way.
Oh, are you not? Oh, okay.
That's how I sing along to all Queen songs in that voice.
Fat bottom girls! You make the rocking world go round!
Where can I pre-order this album? Sounds amazing.
ABK sings Queen. Or it'd be Queen featuring ABK live at Wembley.
Yeah. Or Alistair Beckett Queen. There's so many possibilities here.
Yes.
Alistair Beckett colon Queen. Anyway, we'll work it out.
I really hope you have listeners out there who are good enough at sampling your vocals into a full-length track.
And little Queen medley.
We need maybe two more Queen songs then for a medley, don't we? Have you got a favourite Queen song, James?
Well, I'd like to hear Alistair Beckett King's take on Flash.
I'm talking about, how does Flash start?
Flash! Gordon's alive!
That bit of it is kind of the same.
He can save with a mighty hand, every man, every woman, every child, with the mighty Flash! It's a bit of a Gareth.
This is all taking place in a drawing room, in my mind.
This acts, my singing is so accurate, we're going to get takedowns. On when this goes on YouTube, they're going to be like, nope, you can't just post unedited Queen tracks to YouTube. Thank you very much. I'm actually sweating with shame. Our final category for you, James.
Go on.
Sparrows is the rats of birds.
Sparrows is the rats of birds.
Argue with that. That's just facts.
I can't
That's
argue
just the
with
way
facts.
It is. Sparrows is the rats of birds.
Sparrows is the rats of birds. Eels is the sparrows of the Wandsworth Black Sea. The queen rat is the siren of the sewer.
She's a pooey siren, essentially. Mm. I accept a 5 out of 5.
I can't argue with that. It has to be 5 out of 5.
Yes! Yes!
Oh. I'm not even bothering to undo the silver rats from my sash. I'm just taking the sash off and putting it around both your necks.
He's de-sashed. Oh, causing the rest of his velvet rat catcher's outfit to slump to the floor.
Yeah. We all know where that's going to end up.
Wow, well, what a stinky, sexy, and unexpectedly musical episode this has been.
Yes, unexplainably musical episode.
Tom Mayhew, no relation to Henry Mayhew. Thank you so much for joining us as a deputy law person.
Yes, thank you.
That's all right. Thank you very much
Would
for having
you
me.
Like to plug your doings? We've mentioned your Radio 4 show, Tom Mayhew is Benefit Scum. Again, not my opinion. That's just the fact of the BBC said it, so that's an objective fact. What else would you like to plug? You're going to the Fringe.
Yes, I'm doing a show at the Edinburgh Fringe 2023. It's at Laughing Horse Three Sisters at 6:30, called This Time Next Year We'll Be Millionaires, and that's going to be really, really fun. So if you're in Edinburgh, come along. If not, I've got the Radio 4 stuff. You can subscribe to my YouTube or follow me on Twitter, all that stuff.
Thanks very much to Tom Mayhew. Do check out his show in Edinburgh. And if you simply can't wait and want more content, then, well, Alistair, what can they do?
Yes, we never normally mention it, but it's www.patreon.com/rawmenpod, and you can get goodies and bonus episodes and access to the King's Ear on our Discord.
The Alistair Beckett King?
Yeah, my ear. And James's ear.
I'm going to catch your rats.
Yeah. You create something like inward singing. That Jack Black.